Don't spend another winter with your home colder than it should be. Hi, I'm Roy Spencer with PermaSeal. We measure the amount of heat loss and recommend solutions to keep it comfortable. Call PermaSeal for your free estimate, 800-421-SEAL, or visit permaseal.net.
Front page of the Tribune, you saw that poor kid sitting there curled up in his hospital bed, suffering from some sort of illness in his lungs as a result of vaping. And I've got a lot of questions about the safety and practice of these things. Dr. Albert Rizzo is on a phone line. Dr. Rizzo is with the American Lung Association. I'm just looking for the exact introduction here. And Aleph, now I don't see it. Chief Medical Officer. Dr. Rizzo, welcome to the show. You're on WGN in Chicago. How are you?
Very good, thank you.
Thanks for joining us. Where exactly are you, sir?
I'm in Delaware. Wilmington, Delaware.
That's where you folks are headquartered?
No, our headquarters in Chicago, but I still practice a little bit, so I'm in Wilmington, Delaware, where my practice is.
I see. Probably good in that position to still be practicing and seeing things. Do you have patients come in who are suffering from some ill effects from vaping?
Well, fortunately, I've not seen any of them yet, and hopefully I won't, but I have not.
What's going on here, and can you put things in perspective for us? That is, the numbers seem large, but relative to other diseases from, say, tobacco use, maybe it's not as bad as we're making it sound. Give me some perspective.
Well, I think the concern is the numbers may be small now, but they're exponentially increasing over the last couple of months. And some of that may be that people, physicians, emergency rooms are starting to recognize that these are symptoms that may be related to vaping a substance. So I think we just don't know the extent of what might be occurring over these last couple of months and how quickly it may or may not be able to be controlled. That's why I think it's important that the CDC and FDA are continuing to investigate all the cases. I think, unfortunately, we're up over 400 cases, and also, unfortunately, at least three deaths are confirmed to be related to this.
Is it people who are vaping THC, or are they vaping just the normal oils from Juul and things like that?
It seems to be a little bit of everything. A lot of this is based on the history that can be obtained from patients as to what they've been vaping, how much they've been vaping. There certainly have been a number of brands that have been used, both different THC brands as well as different electronic cigarette brands. So, again, we can't blame one product or one ingredient at this point. It could be multiple ingredients, and it also could be the way the ingredients have been manipulated or changed with regard to the device that's being used. So still a lot of unanswered questions.
Do we have better regulation on tobacco than we do on Juul products?
That's correct. I mean, these cigarettes were put under the FDA's authority actually several years ago. They were deemed to be tobacco products. But, again, the ability to regulate them has been very slow to develop for a number of reasons. I mean, the American Lung Association has been concerned that there has been developing an epidemic of use among adolescents, high schoolers, middle schoolers are vaping much more now than they were 4 or 5 years ago. And I think that's the problem of a whole new generation getting addicted to nicotine, because that is the main product in all of these electronic cigarettes or vaping devices.
But nicotine is not the harmful thing about tobacco. Is that correct?
That is correct. However, the nicotine is the addicting substance that makes people keep going back and makes it hard for individuals to get off any substance, any device that has nicotine in it. So,
right.
The addiction is the harmful thing.
Well, I guess
as well as the products.
Right, but follow me here for a second.
Sure.
If I were going to be addicted to something, better I don't get addicted to tobacco. Better I get that nicotine fix, if you will, but then it's something more harmless, and that would be a vaping product.
Yes, in certain cases. In the adolescent, unfortunately, nicotine can be harmful because it changes the brain. The brain is developing at a different stage at that point in our lives as compared to an adult who uses a vaping device. So nicotine can be harmful. Nicotine does lead to heart disease as well. So it doesn't have all the things that a tobacco product can have as far as lung cancer, COPD, things of that nature. But I think it's a bad message to say that it's necessarily safer. And unfortunately, nicotine addiction does lead as a gateway to more smoking of cigarettes.
Yeah.
That's been shown by a number of studies.
Well, the other thing is, you know, it generates such a cloud, and maybe it's just vapor and that's okay, but it just strikes me as incongruous to think that you could put that much smoke in your lungs or smoky vapor in your lungs and it be, you know, harmless, you know what I mean?
Vape is not just water vapor. That contains chemicals, metals, chemicals that are irritating to the lungs and ultrafine particles that get into the airways. And both the Surgeon General as well as the National Academy of Sciences have shown that even secondhand exposure to emissions of e-cigarettes can be harmful to individuals.
Now, the president of one of those vaping companies, I don't know if it was Juul, I think it might have been, was on one of the morning shows this week, the CBS Morning News.
Sure.
And he said that when his daughter confronted him with his taking over leadership of this company, he said, well, I have an opportunity here to fight the number one killer in the history of this country from tobacco. So he saw himself on the vanguard of getting people off of tobacco. He actually was pitching it as him doing something beneficial.
Well, a lot of us in the public health field would love to have something safer than cigarettes. I think, unfortunately, the e-cigarette explosion over the last 5 to 7 years has been done without the research needed to have people really know what they're doing with an e-cigarette. None of the e-cigarettes have been shown to be definitive devices for smoking cessation. Many individuals continue to smoke even when they use e-cigarettes. So I think he had a good intention, but unfortunately the way it's all developed has led to a lot of unanswered questions. We really don't know what the long-term effects of using an e-cigarette are, and we're seeing some of the short-term effects of overuse and potential manipulation of devices to have chemicals in them that are harmful to the lung. We know some of them already do, but what else is going on is just unanswered at this point.
Yeah, and I don't know what his intentions were. Maybe they were good. Maybe that was just some cognitive dissonance where he's trying to justify being CEO of a big-time company, knowing he's really selling something that's harmful to people. So when these, but you know, the other thing that jumps out at me, Dr. Albert Rizzo on a phone line, Chief Medical Officer for the American Lung Association. We're talking about vaping and some of these illnesses that are coming forward, notably from people that are vaping THC, but the doctor says it's coming from a whole host of things that people are taking in. It's the age, you know, like people who get sick from tobacco get sick after years of use of cigarettes and whatever. It's yes. Striking to me that these people are 19 years old and they're coming down with some sort of lung disease.
Can I just interject a little
issue,
bit?
Go ahead.
Hold on 1 second, doctor.
Yeah.
Yes, Steve.
There has been another death today in Minnesota, and that involves a 65-year-old man.
Huh.
So they're not all young.
I wonder, though, how long that man, maybe he had conditions prior to his vaping, but I wonder how long he was vaping, if that was the cause of his illness or death. But thank you for that, Steve. Doctor, go ahead.
Well, you certainly bring up a point that a pre-existing lung condition in this age group of the young people could easily be asthma. So a pre-existing lung condition could put somebody at more risk for just a flare-up of their disease, let alone the development of a new illness such as the vaping illness. So I think that's an important thing to realize as well. I think your original, can you tell me what your original train of thought was there before we got interjected with the death?
Uh-huh. Steve, yeah, right. My original question was, how is it that people are getting sick at such an early age? They haven't been doing it for years.
Yeah, part of what may be happening in the younger age group is the intensity of using a device that may contain nicotine or THC is different from a vaping device as compared to cigarettes. For example, a Juul device may have as much nicotine in it as a pack of cigarettes, but it's very hard to smoke a pack of cigarettes in 15 to 20 minutes. But you can vape a whole Juul pod in 15 to 20 minutes. So the amount of inhaled chemicals can vary depending on the use of the individual, how often during the day they're using it, daily, and to what intensity they breathe in.
Yeah. I got that. But they're not getting cancer, right? What is the disease that they're...
No, there's been cancer developed as far as we know. Well, right now they're getting inflammation in the airways, and when it's looked at both on CAT scans or x-rays, and unfortunately, even when individuals die with this, they show different forms of irritation in the lung, forms of inflammation. No evidence of infection has been found at this point. And as you mentioned, no cancers, but cancers develop over years. And there are cancer-containing products in these devices, but I don't believe this is related to associated with these current illnesses. This is an irritation, can't say an allergic or hypersensitivity, but some type of irritant is getting into the airways, causing the lungs to be inefficient to get oxygen into our bloodstreams.
Have you all given this a name? Is it called something?
Right now, I think it's called a vaping-related pulmonary disease. I don't think there's been any other name given to it by the CDC or...
He's still there, but I don't hear him, Elif. He's just all of a sudden dropped off. Doctor, are you there?
I'm still here. Can you hear me?
Yeah, you just dropped off. Let's do this. I've got some questions from our listeners. The number's 312-981-7200, 312-981-7200. Patrick, you go first. You're on WGN. Hi.
Hi, how you doing?
Good. Talk to us. What's your question?
Yeah, listen, I've been watching the reports and everything, and a question I haven't heard asked yet, and maybe not everybody's caught up with this, you know, reporter-wise, is that I want to make sure everybody's aware that there are black market vapes everywhere you go. So many people are buying black market vapes, marijuana vapes, and perhaps whatever chemicals, you know, how they do with other drugs, who knows what the heck they're putting in there, and possibly that's a direction to go. And then the other thing I wanted to point out is we're talking about a majority of 19-year-old kids that don't want to tell mom and dad that they're smoking marijuana vapes or black market marijuana vapes. So they could be telling mom and dad, yeah, I'm smoking a tobacco one, when in fact they're smoking the marijuana.
Yeah, interesting point. Thank you, Patrick. Doctor, you have a comment on that?
You know, I think he hits very good points there. I think the fact that we don't know exactly what's causing this, and many people believe it could be some manipulation of devices. It could be, you know, black market chemicals being put in or THC. So that's a very good point. And the other point is that parents need to be aware of potential signs and symptoms, as well as physicians. 19-year-olds aren't going to come in and volunteer they were necessarily vaping THC. But now with this rash of disease going on, we have to ask those questions pointedly. What have you been using? What specific product? Do you have the product so that CDC and FDA can do investigation?
A couple of texts include these. How much are these people vaping? You suggested that if you vape a lot in a short period of time, of the equivalent, say, of a pack of cigarettes, that might be more problematic. Do we know that to be the case, though, that these
there's a wide range. One of the studies that's come out in the New England Journal looking at some of these cases have shown many of them have smoked within the last 30 days. Many of them have smoked, used the device on a daily basis. But the intensity varies and the product varies. And, again, we just don't have the exact answers to what device, what product, whether it's over-the-counter, whether it's a black market device, is causing this. So we have to keep our open mind as to what's happening.
630, John, I vape the THC, but not a lot, and I have no issues. So what about me?
Well, I think you're fortunate at this point.
Yeah. Elifa, do you want me to take the calls instead of doing that? All right, we'll go to Kim. You're on WGN Radio. Hi, Kim. You're on the air.
Hi, John. How are you?
Good. What's on your mind?
This happened about a year ago. A girlfriend is sitting in my kitchen with me, and she was going through some emotional stuff, and she pulled out an e-cigarette and said, "Do you mind if I do this? You know, it's just water vapor, and I'm a singer, so I'm not around smoke. I mean, it destroys me." And I said, "Oh, water vapor, no problem. Go ahead." And because she was being very emotional, within 30 minutes, I could not speak. I was sitting next to her, you know, and there was, I don't know what happened, and after 30 minutes of her doing this, my voice was way down here, you know, and I said, "You got to go. I got to sing, you know, tomorrow. I can't." And it took 6 months and 2 rounds of prednisone to get my high notes back, to get anything back.
Hold on a second. I want the doctor to comment on that. Doc, have you heard anything like that?
Yes, I think, you know, part of the reason there's this epidemic among the young people is the thinking that it was safe and it was just water vapor. But we know it's not just water vapor. There are ultrafine particles. There's small particles of lead, tin, nickel. There are hydrocarbons. There are chemicals in that vaping that even secondhand exposure will cause symptoms as they did in this individual.
Thanks for the call and good luck. I'm glad you brought that up. This one says, "Does vape smoke have tar? I doubt it. Stop being so vague." As though we're hiding the fact that it's really not that harmful, I guess, says Greg. What do you say about that, Doc?
Well, it doesn't have the tar that a cigarette does when tobacco is burned. The trouble is that the heated substances in these devices leads to other chemicals that can include some of the ones that are contained in cigarettes. Formaldehydes, acrolins, there are some volatile organic carbons and hydrocarbons, but not at the degree that it would be in a cigarette. So I think there's a matter of semantics saying that there's certain emissions from a cigarette that's being burned as well as a vaping device that heats substances to a high temperature. Both of them lead to inhaled irritants and trouble with the lung. The long-term effects of the vaping and e-cigarettes, we just don't know at this point because they've only been around for a few years and can't be studied because they aren't regulated.
Dr. Albert Rizzo is the chief medical officer for the American Lung Association. Kate, you're on WGN. Hi.
Hi, my daughter smokes marijuana with a vape, and she it's from a medical marijuana dispensary, and she says because it comes from there that it's safe. Is that true?
I think the short answer is we don't know. I'm glad she's not having any trouble. We just don't know the answers as to why there are some individuals right now that are developing this vaping-related illness. I think the best message for many people, Milwaukee was saying that don't vape at this point. We don't know what the consequences are going to be.
Better that than the black market stuff, but I presume she's doing it because she has seizures or glaucoma or something, right?
Right, and she's got some medical problems.
You're between a rock and a hard place. I mean, yeah, if that gives
I guess I could convince her to take it in some other form, I hope.
Yeah, well, now that's an interesting option.
Well, I think the medical supervision is important. If she's getting it for a certain illness and she's under the care of a physician, I think she follows that advice.
Kate, thanks for the phone call. Vic's got a question that may be on your mind. You're on WGN. Vic, hi.
Yeah, the simple and easy question is, since all these things are either unknown or are related to stuff that does cause problems, why in the world is it allowed to be sold in the first place?
We've been asking the FDA that for about 3 or 4 years now. You're right on target, and as the Lung Association, we've been asking the FDA to get rid of the flavored ingredients, to put more regulations on what these devices are, and it's going to take some time, but the FDA is saying, let us know what's in your device so we can approve it, but that's been very slow to happen. So you're asking the right question, and unfortunately, it's just not being done.
Are there age regulations across the country on who can buy Juuls? THC, I guess, if you're vaping marijuana, you're probably doing it illegally. Although, actually, it's going to be probably legal to do that in Illinois real soon here.
Well, there are age limits put on state by state. Different states have now raised the tobacco buying age to 21, and many are including e-cigarettes and vaping devices in the same category. So that varies from state to state, but it is an important thing to realize that making the age higher might diminish the number of people who use the device.
We'll call you again, Doctor. You've been very helpful. This is a little frustrating for, I think, all of us, if for no other reason, because we just don't have all the information, and for another reason, the information we have is not good. So let's stay on top of this. Dr. Albert Rizzo with the American Lung Association. He's their chief medical officer. Doctor, we'll visit again.
Thank you for the opportunity.